a Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers, on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, and on the free Odyssey app.
I didn't mean to expose you like that, Mitch. I'm sorry.
You lit me up, bro. You lit me up.
It was late. It's totally okay.
It's totally okay. I have some eggplant parm over a bed of kale. Wow. I'm trying to not have so many noodles and stuff, you know.
Right, right.
It's delicious, by the way. Mrs. Thunder, thank you for packing me a lunch. Love you. I actually brought it yesterday, and she was a little salty with me that we hit up lunch together yesterday. She's like, but I packed you lunch.
Mm.
I said, I know, but like, you know,
Tommy, you can just blame it on me.
I said, Tommy and I wanted some bonding time, and I still have the lunch at work. I can have it tomorrow. And she said, okay, I guess. Because it's both about nutrition and about saving money and all those sorts of things.
So,
you know how it goes.
Sorry, Ellie.
She's okay. She's a big girl. This is the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon. By the way, I never brought this up. I'll bring it up later. We don't need to make Eli wait. Joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all, from Packer Report and the Book of Eli. He is Eli Berkovitz. Eli, how are you, sir?
I am doing great. Always fun to talk Packers football. Obviously an exciting time of the year, so I appreciate you guys bringing me on.
So what's your favorite move so far, Eli, whether it is someone coming back being re-signed or one of these new additions coming to Green Bay heading into 26?
I mean, I think it's pretty exciting that we might actually have a real kick returner on this football team for the first time in a handful. I mean, obviously, Keyshawn Nix is on the team, but he refuses to do that part of the job.
Heaven forbid you do your job, right?
Exactly. So signing a designated kick returner, I think it might go overlooked. But as Packer fans, we know just how overlooked special teams has been. And it's about time they actually addressed it and brought someone in who could really make an impact. And it's not just, oh, you know, maybe we'll have one, you know, kick return touchdown, which would be great for the Packers. We never get to see that. But he consistently brings the ball out considerably further than we are generally accustomed to. I mean, last year he averaged, you know, almost 28 yards per kick return, over 11 yards per punt return. Those are some really nice numbers. So I'm just excited to see that. And I think overall, we knew they weren't going to spend a ton of free agency, but I think they have done some they made some pretty nice moves.
Eli Berkovitz joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. Eli, I'm confused isn't the right word, but perplexed. I'm perplexed because of the reporting structure of the Green Bay Packers with the way that LaFleur and Goody both report to policy, where it looks like Goody has put money into special teamers. Sky Moore, Juice coming over from San Diego, bringing back Neiman, bringing back Welch. Like, those guys are special teamers and should make us special teams really good. LaFleur has done nothing to make it seem like special teams is a priority to him whatsoever. So regardless of the players that Goody gets for LaFleur, I'm still concerned that LaFleur isn't going to make special teams a priority, and maybe he has better players over there, but it's still not where he puts enough attention for that squad to be relevant for the Packers. Am I crazy?
100%.
Okay.
No, I mean, the way I see it, I genuinely think Matt LaFleur looks at special teams as just don't do something catastrophic and make us lose this game. Yep. And even with that mindset, more times than not when they lose a game, it is a catastrophic error on special teams.
Right.
Even something as simple as a missed field goal that is a field goal that shouldn't be missed, which, yes, missed field goals happen. You know, we've seen a lot worse in terms of blocked kicks, blocked punts, onside kick debacles. But for a team that just clearly is, like, as they like to say, right, the bar is in hell. They're not looking to win games on special teams. They're not even looking to be positive in special teams. They just don't want to be overtly negative. And yet, when they lose games, it is almost always you can look at that game and point to something on special teams as being at least part of the reason they lost. So I completely agree. I think Matt LaFleur essentially just doesn't care about special teams when he clearly should.
So does Rich Bisaccia wake up this morning kicking his pillow? Like, I mean,
like after... being like, if you had gotten me these guys, I could have done something with this.
I don't know. I mean, the whole Bisaccia thing is obviously very strange. The way it ended, waiting multiple weeks after the season and then him just stepping down and leaving. Now, obviously, back in the college ranks, but I don't know. I mean, one thing I did give credit to Bisaccia for last year was their coverage units. They really were very good. They did not give up really any big returns on punts or kickoffs last year, but it was everything else that was a disaster in terms of field goal kicking mostly, obviously, and then that onside kick against the Bears. So right now, you know, I won't pretend to be some sort of expert in the new special teams coordinator they brought in, but I do like the young blood. I like the change of scenery, and you just got to hope, like, it can't get worse, right? So we got to hope that we can just get at least a little better. And I do think some of these additions is definitely going to help that.
And so as we look at what the Packers are doing, you know, there's this big picture concept that, oh, they've opened up all this money. They've restructured a bunch of guys. They haven't signed anybody big. Maybe there's a trade. Maybe there's another move. What does Goody have up his sleeve? Eli, what does Goody have up his sleeve?
You know, for a minute, I was thinking, could they actually somehow pull off some sort of Jalen Carter move, as crazy as it may seem?
Let's go. Let's go.
I would love for it to be true, but based on a few of the things I've heard from some people that I do generally trust, I just think the asking price is too high. And then Adam Schefter today, and, you know, you can say what you believe from Adam Schefter all the time, but sure. I was on Pat McAfee today and said the Eagles at no point have shopped Jalen Carter. That seems a little unlikely considering how many different people have come out saying they were at least fielding some offers maybe. But I think that's certainly something that they looked into potentially. I think I heard maybe even a guy like Dexter Lawrence, the Giants defensive tackle, they at least maybe made a call on him. I don't know if the Giants actually made him available. But I think a guy that just got released by the Panthers, A'shaun Robinson, the defensive tackle, veteran, really good against the run, brings not a ton of pass rush juice, but a little, and just a veteran presence that I think they could really use in the middle of their defensive line right now. I don't think he would cost a lot of money. I would love to see a signing like that. Or, you know, even though he's, you know, in his mid-30s at this point, Calais Campbell still makes plays, and he's still out there. And I'm sure he would love the opportunity to try to compete for a championship and play for a franchise like the Green Bay Packers. So I do hope they do something. Right now, this pass rush group, it's too young and it's too thin.
So pass rush and run stopping.
I was going to ask also about the pass defending, right? That's been some of the move right now with St. Juice coming over from the Chargers. Are those the two biggest needs in your mind? Because they have the O-line shored up now. Obviously, the rest of the offense, they knew Romeo Doubs was going to be gone. And they bring in Zaire Franklin to replace Quay Walker. I still feel very concerned about the cornerback room. How likely do you think that Green Bay is not done in that aspect? Because they're going to have to go to the draft with those two positions, it feels like now. But I would like a little more veteran leadership in both of those two rooms.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, corner, like, I do think St. Juice, like, he showed some really nice tape last year with the Chargers. Like, his first 4 years in Washington, I'll be honest, were pretty much disastrous, but I think he just wasn't in the right scheme and he wasn't played in the right position. And when he went into Jesse Minter's defense last year with the Chargers, it was much more zone-based. He was able to read and react, read the quarterback, break on the ball, and that's kind of always been his skill set going back to college. And obviously the Packers, they love to play their zone, let the cornerbacks read the quarterback and make a play on the ball. So I think at the very least, he can be a rotational, solid piece for the secondary, but no doubt they're going to have to look in the draft and make some moves. I'm personally not disappointed that they didn't bring in Tariq Woolen. Like, I guess I thought he would have made a little bit more money than he did, but I just think he's such a high variance player where it's just something that I know a lot of Packer fans were clamoring for him. I wasn't. And then when it comes to the pass rush, I love Baron Sorrell and Colin Oliver. I was big fans of when they drafted them, but to go into the season with Micah Parsons coming back from injury, he's not going to play probably at least the first month, and then he's going to need a little ramp-up period. Yep. So what are we going to do? We're going to have Van Ness, Oliver, and Sorrell be this team's pass rush? Like, and Wyatt's still going to be coming back from injury. I don't think that's good enough. So I think they either need to add a veteran here before the end of free agency or before everyone signed, or probably spend a day two pick on an edge rusher, which I would love because I think the day two group of edge rushers this year are really good.
Eli Berkovitz joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon. I think we all agree that D-line across the board needs some help. The offensive line seems pretty set in terms of starting five. Like you look across, and we opened the show with it yesterday. It's like, you know, you go Morgan, Banks, Ryan, and we got the press release today that Sean, it's official with Sean Ryan, which we knew it was, Belton, and Tom coming off an injury, of course. How important do you think it is, not just that we know in March what the expectation is there, but that they know what position they're going to be playing, as opposed to Elgton Jenkins mixing and matching and Jordan Morgan mixing and matching and Belton mixing and matching and not exactly sure who's playing where, but that guys that not for us, the fans, or if we're covering the team or whatever, but like the players themselves actually know what position they're going to be expected to play this year.
Yeah, I love it. You know, I understand the Packers wanting to be versatile on the offensive line. I think it has come up in the clutch many times for us, and I have no issue with that. But sometimes you're taking guys and you're forcing them into positions that maybe one day they could be good at it, but they're not ready for it yet. They haven't practiced enough at it. And you just throw them into an NFL game. A guy who played tackle his whole college career. Okay, now go play guard. Figure it out. Not only play guard, but play guard on the opposite side of where you play tackle. That's a really hard thing to do. And also the whole rotational thing, like, look, yes, you want competition, you want to figure out your best five, but I think as a coaching staff, you should be able to go week to week knowing who your best five is. And if every other quarter you're rotating offensive linemen, I just feel like it's hard to get guys in a rhythm. It's hard to have that continuity. And we saw for so many years with Aaron Rodgers, you know, Bakhtiari, Sitton, Lindsley, Lang, Bulaga, continuity across all five spots. There was, you know, we got lucky with health for the most part, but there wasn't really, there was never rotations. There was never who's going to start this week, who's going to play where. Right. You need that. I think it's really important to have that. And even though right now we do technically know the starting five, I definitely think there will be at least one or two draft picks dedicated to offensive line this year. And I will say, I mean, I don't know what your guys' opinion is. I think it's very odd that we're in day three of free agency and Rashid Walker has not signed yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's starting to concern me that his market's not nearly as high as he thought it would be. And I was expecting, I think a lot of fans were expecting probably a third round comp pick for Rashid Walker. I feel like that's probably out the window at this point.
So what do you think happens with Rashid Walker at this point? Because as you said, all signs pointing to $20 million a year coming his way at some point to play left tackle somewhere. And we have not heard any sort of rumor surrounding Rashid Walker.
It's very odd. Like, I thought he was going to be one of the first names we saw. You know, it was basically the premier left tackle available on the market. It's not easy to find a young left tackle with that much experience and has at times shown really good success on the free agent market. So either he's really waiting out for some major payday, or there's something we don't know about with him that teams are hesitant. But it really is surprising. And I'm almost wondering, like, if another day or two goes by, do the Packers just say, hey, do you know you want a one-year, $10 million deal, come back and compete with Jordan Morgan? Worst case, you're a swing tackle. I'm not saying it's something I would love, but it's just if the market goes down enough, you do have to wonder, is it worth just bringing him in for the depth?
I asked you earlier when we first had you on here about what move excited you the most. Now, what about from the retained people, Ryan Brooks, Kennard, Neiman, Welch? Which one are you the most excited about heading into 2026, coming back to Green Bay?
Did you not mention Bo Melton?
No, I'm not doing that. That's not the answer. If he says that, it's over.
We'll just disconnect.
Look, it's tough because, right, obviously I want to say any of those guys were like major players. Obviously, Sean Ryan is like the one real starter there. Yep. And I do think it matters. Like, I think he can be a pretty solid to even maybe above average center. Like, if he has a full offseason here playing center, I think he could develop into a good center. But I do think he's the kind of guy who needs good guard play around him. Like, I don't think he can be the anchor of your interior the way Corey Linsley could have been. And, you know, maybe a center by trade could be. But if you put him in the middle of two solid guards, let him really practice at center this whole offseason, training camp, preseason, all that, I do think he can be pretty good there. And I do like, you know, just bringing back, Chris Brooks. Like, he's, for what he is, He is good at it. He is a very good pass blocking running back. He's a good pass catcher, and he's a good special teamer. So I think bringing him in for the money they did, obviously, you know, he's not playing many snaps per game, but I do think the snaps he plays are very valuable.
Thoughts on the Max Crosby situation, Eli?
So strange. I mean, yeah,
right?
It's hard to tell if it's like, is this a real medical thing? Is this the Ravens realizing like, whoa, Trey Hendrickson's still on the market. He's not going to get paid as much as we thought. Let's keep our first round picks and just go get Hendrickson. And I kind of lean towards that because, yes, I mean, everyone knew Max Crosby had a knee issue. I don't think anyone expected him. He can't go play football tomorrow. So, of course, he's going to technically fail a physical. So I think it was simply the Ravens not expecting Hendrickson to be available two and a half days into free agency, not expecting his market to be as soft as it was, and realizing, why are we trading two first-round picks for a 29-year-old edge rusher when we could just sign a 31-year-old edge rusher who is healthier and probably a better pure pass rusher, at least at his best, than Crosby, and save our picks. So it's very strange. And now I just want Crosby to stay in Vegas. Like, I think every Packer fan immediately thought, like, oh boy, now where is he going to go, right? Or the Bears going to call, or the Lions going to call. Just stay in Vegas and, you know, try to go and help out Fernando Mendoza on the defense.
Are you that concerned if he ends up in Chicago? If he's failing physicals and the Bears want to give up two first-round picks, I feel like I'm okay with it at this point. And not that it didn't already with the trade with the Ravens, but, and I don't think Packer fans need convincing of it, if you're getting the same value for Max Crosby that you are for Micah Parsons in a trade, sure feels like Green Bay comes out like bandits already again.
Yeah, I mean, if it's two first-round picks and a massive contract, like, I guess I would be like, all right, you know, worse things can happen than the Bears giving up two first-round picks for a guy who's failing physicals. But at this point, I can't imagine any team giving two first-round picks for Crosby, maybe not even one. Like, if the Raiders traded him at this point, it could be just like a day two pick, you know, and they'll just be like, look, we got to get this contract off the books.
Green Bay Packers.
We just signed.
Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, there you go.
Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, look, if we wanted to call.
Number two is available. Malik Willis is not on the team anymore. Crosby number two. Crosby number two.
That would be very fun. I feel like it would be very anti-Packer move, but who knows, right? We thought the Micah Parsons trade was very anti-Packer move. So I just think at this point, it almost wouldn't make sense. Unless the Raiders just desperately, he just will not play for the Raiders and they just want to get that contract off the books. I don't think it makes sense for them to trade him at this point from what is likely going to be going from two first-round picks to, like, at best, probably a second-round pick, maybe even worse if the knee is really that bad.
Eli Berkovitz joining us on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Somebody tweeted last night, explain Bam scoring 83 in NFL terms. And you replied, playoff Jeff Janis. I think Tommy's going to get a little upset. Tommy wants more respect put on Bam Adebayo's name than playoff Jeff Janis, I'm guessing. But there is an element of, like, this guy. Like Bam is the guy who to break Kobe to best Kobe Bryant in the modern era of NBA for most points in a game, with all due respect to Wilt.
Yeah, that was what a performance. I mean, it was obviously the fourth quarter got a little bit like, all right, you know, like NBA 2K, just give him the ball and let him take as many shots as possible. But it was very fun to watch. And, yeah, I mean, to be fair, Bam Adebayo is obviously a much better player in the NBA than Jeff Janis was in the NFL. But that was kind of the first thing that came to mind for me. And I think it's fitting enough, so I stand by it.
Nice. And as we move forward to, you know, there's Rashid Walker and nobody else, Kyler Murray. Is Kyler Murray going to be a Viking? Do we just assume he's a Viking?
I feel like he will be.
Yeah,
I would say I would be at this point. I don't know where else we would go. Maybe Pittsburgh, but like, I'm sure he would love to just go play in a dome, throw to Justin Jefferson, have Kevin O'Connell be his coach. It just makes too much sense. I do think he'll be a Viking.
And who's the Packers' backup quarterback going to be? Justin Fields?
That's a good question.
Bring in Fields for a year?
I wouldn't be opposed to it. It would be very, you know, you could use him in the same package as Willis, you know, get him on the move. That would be fun. I haven't even thought of that, but I certainly would not be opposed to it. But if we're just going based on what we have right now, I kind of feel like they're going to like Desmond Ridder there, just as like someone who has NFL starting experience. Mm-hmm. He's someone that if you were in a serious pinch, I think you could get by without catastrophic results. But because of the Malik Willis experiment and the way it worked out, I do want them to maybe go for that higher upside mobile guy that if we need to play a guy, all of a sudden we're running a very different offense and defenses have to account for that.
I don't know if you know Mike Berkovitz. Probably no relation. He wants to know who's currently the dream pick at 52.
That is a good question. For me,
good question,
it's
Mike.
Be a corner. Yeah. in a world where South Carolina cornerback Brandon Cisse were to fall to 52, which I think is at least possible, that would probably be like my dream within reality. If that doesn't happen, I think San Diego State's Chris Johnson would be a really fun pick at 52. And then if you wanted to look at pass rush, a guy like Zion Young out of Missouri would be great. Or one of my favorite defensive tackles in the class, Kristen Miller out of Georgia. Hmm. If he were to manage to fall for the 52, I would be very excited about that.
No pun intended. I was going to say those Georgia guys are dogs, right? Like, yeah. But it's like, yeah. It's so dumb. God, I'm old. Tommy, save me.
Go Dogs.
There you go. Eli, thank you so much for jumping on. Make sure everybody to follow Eli on all the socials at @BookofEli_NFL. Keep up the great work at Packer Report and 24/7 Sports, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the invite. I'll see you next time.
Absolutely. Eli Berkovitz, always great to have him on the show. Did you like that, Jeff Janis? Like that comparison?
No, that's
yeah, I knew you were going to hate that. I told you you were going to hate it.
Pam was like a lottery pick and has been thrown in trade rumors with Giannis.
I know, but
he's been thrown in trade rumors with a top five player in the league.
Yeah, but that's also kind of stupid.
I didn't say it made people happy, but fair. The perception of Bam Adebayo being Jeff Janis is crazy.
It is, but... Really?
It's more like T. Higgins having a big game.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll give it T. Like setting an all-time record.
T. Higgins, most receiving yards in a game.
Yeah.
That's what it would be.
All right. That's fair. I'll take that. He's Tommy Wirtz. I'm Mitch Nelson. Again, our thanks to Eli Berkovitz for jumping on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Some Brewer talk coming up. We'll talk about predictions for the final roster. Tommy, 2 weeks in a day.
I know.
Tommy. Get your mind right.
I'm ready.
2 weeks in a day.
Brewer baseball.
The leadoff show, the post-game show with Tim Allen, it's about to get real for Tommy Wirtz.
I get it.
This is the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon.